Okay, Rabbosai, the grand finale. Yeah. Oh, about Parshas Poro. So we said the Parshas Poro is divided into three sections. The first section talks about how to the Kohen, his purity, the Tara of the Kohen, and how he makes what he does with the Poro, and how he makes the Eifah HaPoro. The second part discusses the Halochas. Zois HaTorah Omos Kiyomos Ba'Oil. How do you become Tomei? And that you need Tara al yidei the Eifah HaPoro. And the third part describes exactly how the Kohen sprinkles the water with the Ezoiv onto the person who is becoming Tohor. So, the first case happened with the Kolboy. The Kolboy was a Rishon. It says there that the Baal Koira finished the Aliyah. It sounds like a nice finish. He finished there. The person who had the Aliyah finished his Aliyah. He sat down. And then somebody said, but you've only lined a third of the Pasha. You've only lined the first section, which is about... So the Kolboy says, L'chula alma, you're not yoitza. The first section only talks about Strefa Saporo and the preparation of the ashes. It doesn't speak at all about how you matire somebody. So therefore he says, the Kolboy says, L'chula alma, all the Mephoshim say, if the Balkoria finishes, V'lageh ha'go b'soichom, l'chukas oilom, then even if the person who has had the Aliyah has made the second Brocha and sat down, you have to start from the beginning again, and you call up another person, or the same person.
Yeah, correct,
your three psukim yoytz the Aliyah, but you have to line Parshas Poro. And Parshas Poro means that you have to line the Hazo'ah of the person who is becoming Tohor. Here, all you've got is the introduction as to how you make it. How do you make the Eifah? How do you prepare the water? How the Kohen is Tohor? But you haven't got any details at all about Hazo'ah. So therefore, everybody agrees that if he finishes V'lageh HaGo B'Soich on the introduction, that alone is insufficient. You haven't lined the whole of the Parshas Poro, and therefore you're not Yoitzer, and you line again. That's the first one. The second case that happened is brought down in the Oruch HaShulchan, and this is the case of Rashi and the Machzor Vitri. Right? The reason, I checked it out by the way, Vitri, you're right, is Vitri Sur Seine. It says that it's near Paris on the River Seine. And the reason why it's called Machzor Vitri, nothing to do with the Machzor, or maybe it is to do with the Machzor of Yom Tov. Machzor Vitri means the whole Machzor, the Galgal Hashono. It goes through the whole year with tefillahs and piyutim and all sorts of things. And maybe that's why I called the Machzor. It's called the Machzor because it goes round the year. But Machzor is like round the year, so to speak. That's why the sefer was called Machzor Vitri.
Probably sell better if they called it a Machzor.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not actually a Machzor that you can daven from. It has got tefillahs, it's got all sorts of piyutim, it's also got a perish on Pirkei Avos in the Machzor Vitri. But that's why it's called Machzor Vitri in any event. So Machzor and also Vitri, interestingly, named it after the place where he lived. Yeah, his name was Reb Simcha ben somebody or other. He was a Rishon. He was a Talmud of Rashi. So he brings down the case where they finished Mayim Chayim El Keli, which you can understand because that's the normal Sheni. So Mayim Chayim El Keli, and then he sat down. So now you've had the first two parts of the Parsha. You've had parts of the Parsha number one, which is the introduction, how you make the Eifah HaPoro, how you prepare the water. And you've got the second part, which goes through Zois HaTorah Odom Ki Yomos Ba'Oil, how a person becomes Tomei, that he touches a mess, or he touches a mess through through something metal, or that he's in an oihel with a mess, or whatever. It goes through those halochas, and it says that these are the people who need Hazo'ah of the Eifah HaPoro. These are the people who need the Poro Adumo in order to be Mitaya them. So if these people need the Eifah HaPoro to be Mitaya them, then so that was the second part of the Parsha. So the question is, are you Yoitza or not? And here you've got a Machloikas. Rashi and the Machzor Vitri both say that you're not Yoitza. Why? Because you haven't actually discussed the Hazo'ah of the actual sprinkling. You've discussed the preparation of the Hazo'ah, or the preparation of the water with the Eifah HaPoro. You've discussed who qualifies to become you've discussed who is a Tomei Meis, and such a person who needs the Hazor, but you haven't actually, the next Pasha after Maim Chayim Lekeli starts up, that's when you start speaking about how you actually are Metaher a person. So when you actually Metaher the person, that's really the main bit that we want. So therefore we really want the bit after Sheni as the Ikka of the Pasha's Porah. So Shaila is, if you finished at Sheni and you didn't line till Hanefesh HaNegas Titmar D'Orev, then the question is, were you Yoitza or were you not Yoitza? And here we've got a Machloikas. Rashi, it happened in the case of Rashi, and the Bach Savitri's Talmud brings it down, and Rashi said, you're not Yoitza. You had introduction, you had the Halochas, you're not Yoitza. But the Oruch HaShulchan brings down, and there's also a Shalas the Nite Gavriel brings down the Shalas Chuvas Horad Dad. And I never heard of the Shalas Chuvas Horad Dad, so I looked it up, and it was a Rabbi Meiselish, Rabbi Meisels, from a place called Lusk, Lamed Aleph Samach Kuf, around in the mid-1800s.
Where? Which country?
Well, Lusk, I presume it's in Poland somewhere. The first edition was printed in Pietrzykow. So, and it was in the 1870s, I think. Anyway, he brings it down, and the Nitzan Gavriel brings his down, and the Oruch HaShulchan doesn't bring down the Shalas Tuvas HaRadat, but says himself, Misvora, of his own Svora, he says as follows, that Vibalt there is a posuk in the second section, which says, Hu Yischato boy, Bayoim HaShlishi, Bayoim HaShvi, Yitor, that if he has the treatment on the third day and on the seventh day, then he will become Tohor. Zok the Oruch HaShulchan and the Radat. So you've mentioned already not only who becomes Tomei and who needs to Tara of the Poradumo, but you've also mentioned that he has to have some sort of a treatment on the third day and on the seventh day. Therefore, unlike against Rashi, which the Nitzan Gavriel says is a bit of a shaila as to how the Oruch HaShulchan, who's a late achroin, and how the Radad, who's also quite a late achroin, are going to argue with a Rashi and a Machzavitri. Right? The Chorah, that's a big chiddush that they should argue. But Rashi and the Machzavitri say quite clearly that unless you've lined the parsha all the way through to the end, including after Mayim Chaim El-Keli, you're not Yoitzer, you have to start again, you have to make another Aliyah, and you start from the beginning. Masha Enkein. As I said, the Oruch HaShulchan and the Shalas HaTruvas Dad say the Vibaltit has mentioned that on the third and the seventh day such a person needs a treatment. Although the exact treatment hasn't been described, nevertheless, B'dievet Yoyotze. And therefore, the Nitzan Gavriel says, La Halocha is a Shaila as to what you should do, whether or not you follow the Oruch HaShulchan and Yoyotze B'dievet, finishing Maim Chaim HaKeli, or you have to start another Aliyah. And therefore, the halacha, the main thing is that each person who's here in the room at the moment should check in shul and keep an eye on the parsha and make sure that if the Baal Koryah finishes, Chaim El-Keli, give him a shout and make sure that he carries on till the end before the person who's got the aliyah makes the second brocha.
Started at Turaway in Northwest London, Friday, Kof Halef Hador, 21st of March. Rabbi Shimon Gurevich, Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Torah is sponsored by the Cheskel Ebed, the Tzimut HaMitzvah, Menachem Ebed, the Yor, the Mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yerot, and Yishkul Harob, the Skandal of Rab Nachas, the Menim Mekod Yosei, the Tzahem, the Skos HaShpem, the Chalim HaMelchamo, the Shachsaru, the Votzheim, the Shalom, the Mehiro.
To discuss today, you've been learning the sedras of the Binyan HaMishkan and the various components that made up the Mishkan. I'd like today to discuss the Proiches HaMosach. I'd like to start off with a Ha'ora that troubled me some years ago. In Parshas Pikudei, all the various parts of the Mishkan were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu after they were completed, and we're given a full list. So we look at the list, we're told as follows. Vayoviyu es ha-mishkan al Moshe, oil, krosov, kroshov, brichov, amudov, adonov, all parts of the structure, oyos edim odomim, that's the covering that cover the top. So Preich Samosoch is counted together with all the various parts of the actual structure of the Mishkan. Then we move on to the Kedim, Arina, Edus, Padov, Kapoiris, then on to the Shulchan, etc., etc. Look at this week's Sedra. There again, in Periklamet, Hei Posik Yudalet, we have a listing of all the various components of the Mishkan. This was actually the Tzivui. In Parshas Pikudei, it was when they were brought. Parshas Vayakov was a Tzivui. And it says as follows. We start off with the actual parts of the building. Mishkan, Ole, Michseyu, Krosov, Krosha, Brichov, Amudov, Adonov, and Poroiches HaMosuch is not mentioned when we detail the parts of the building. When's Poroiches mentioned? The next Posuk. Oroin, Badov, Kapoiris, and Poroiches HaMosuch. You don't understand what's going on over here. Why is Poroiches HaMosuch mentioned together with the Oren? It belongs together with the components and the parts of the actual structure, as we have it in Parashas Pikudei. Sorry? Poroiches HaMosuch was the curtain that divided the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So why is it mentioned over here together with the Oren? That's one difficulty. And the other difficulty is the difference. In Parashas Pikudei, it's mentioned together with the components, with the parts and parcels of the actual structure. So why in this week's Sedra is it mentioned differently? What's going on over here? Pikudei is Lamed He Yudalet. Lamed He Yudalet. Sorry, right. Lamed Tes Lamed Dalet. Sorry, you're correct. I think that this Ha'ora, that we've actually been Ma'ora, supports a vote that I once heard, B'Shem Reb Mechel Feinstein, Zech Tzadik Tevrocha, the Edom of the Briskerov. He asked a different question. And he wanted to say a pshat, a teretz, to answer his question, and what we're asking is actually a rai, and then I'd like to elaborate. He says as follows, if we look in Parashas Truma, we have detailed in Parashas Truma, in short, but detailed, the setting up of the Mishkan. And over there it says as follows, it says, v'nosates ha-preiches, they place the preiches there, Taxakrosim, the Vesa Shom Besa Proichs Hasarone Eidos, Vivdilo Haproiches Benakoidish Ubein Kodesh HaKodoshim. So, what was the function of the Proiches? Vivdilo, a separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim, which is the way we would understand the purpose of this curtain, was to separate the two. When I was looking at Parashas Pikudei, where we have once again detailed the setting up on the Mishkan, on the Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day of the Miluim, it says as follows: Mem posa gimel, v'samto shom es haroin ho edus, v'sakoisa al ha'oren es ha'proiches. The proiches was placed al ha'oren, says Rashi. V'sakoisa al ha'oren loshen hagona. It was there to protect the oren. And there again, in posa kaf aleph, mem posa kaf aleph, v'yovei es ha'oren al ha'mishkan, v'yosef es proiches ha'mosoch, v'yosech al ha'roin ha'edus. Says Rabbi Chafanshim, what's going on over here? Was it a curtain to divide the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or was it there to protect the Oren? And he says, I've had in two true Biska style, two dinim. In other words, the Pareches had a dual function. The Pareches, number one, was a division between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And number two, the Pareches was there as a shield, the Chfoit HaOren, and we'll discuss more later as to what actually was the requirement for the shield, as a shield for the Oren, to protect and to cover the Oren. So I think that's borne out by the point that we made and that we raised when we started. In Parashas Pikudei, we see that the Pareches is reckoned as part of the structure. And in Parashas Vayakel, it's mentioned together with the Oren. The answer is the two functions. It's part of the structure in view of its function as a mechitza. And it's also together with the Oren because it's a cover for the Oren. In fact, I thought one could add as follows. Most of the Kleah Mishkan, in fact, virtually all of them, have got a single name. There's an Oren, there's a Shulchan, there's a Menorah, there's a Mizbeach. When it comes to the Poroiches, it's got a double-barreled name. Poroiches HaMosoch. Why has it got a double-barreled name? What's the word Poroiches mean? Rashi says in Parashas Truma, Poroiches is Loshen Mechitza. Mosoch. In Parshas Pikudei, it says, Vayosech al ha'oren. It was there to protect the oren. Says the Ramban, that's loshen mosoch. In other words, poroiches ha'mosoch has a double name because it's a dual function. Poroiches, it's a mechitza. Mosoch, it's a protector. So it's called both names because of the dual function of the poroiches. And perhaps with this, we can explain something else. In Parshas Bamidbar, we have the Masos. The Mishkan was dismantled, and various Chalokim of Shevet Levi carried the various parts of the Mishkan. What happened to the Poreches when they dismantled the Mishkan? The Poreches actually wrapped around the Orem. That's what the Poreches was utilized for, was one of the coverings of the Orem. And who carried the Orem, of course? The Bnei Kos. If you have a look at the Pasuk over there, it says as follows. The Semperik Gimel Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Parshas Bamidbar, the Pasuk says as follows. Pasuk says, when it details what the Bnei Kos carried, it says as follows. Umishmartom ha'oren, ha'shulchan, ha'menoira, ha'mizbechois, Klei Kodesh Shos Behem, that was the Klei Ketores, V'ham Mosach. Says Rashi, what was the Mosach? Rashi says, Hi HaPoroiches. Now, you never find anywhere else that it's called just Mosach. In Parshas Bamidbar, it's called Mosach. What happened to the Poroiches part of it? And the answer is very, very simple. Over there, we're speaking about the Mishkan when it was dismantled. So at that point in time, it wasn't acting as a Poroiches. But what did they do with it? They wrapped the Oren with it. So it was still acting as a protector for the Oren. Therefore, it's not called a Poroiches, but it's called a Mosoch. That's Pshat in Parshas Bamidbar. I think those are the two names, Poroiches HaMosoch. That's based on Rabbi Michael Feinstein's vort. What I'd like to now understand is, why in Parshas Truma, it says, Vivdilo es HaPoroiches ben HaKodesh ben HaKodesh HaKodoshim. There we detail the Poroiches, which function of the Poroiches? The Mechitza function. And in Parshas Pikudei, we detail the shield of the Oren function. Why in Parshas Truma do we highlight the Poroiches function? And in Parshas Pikudei, we highlight the Mosoch function. And why in Parshas Vayakil is the Poroiches together with the Oren? And Parshas Pikudei, the Poroiches together with the components of the actual Mishkan? We can understand that there's two dinim, but why the change? What's going on over here? When is this highlighted and when is that highlighted? So I'd like to try and explain. I'd like to have a look, as I've said, the setting up of the Mishkan is detailed in Parshas Truma, and the setting up of the Mishkan is detailed once again in Parshas Pikudei. I'd like to highlight a couple of differences and discuss them. One has a look in Parshas Truma, Pei Kaf Vov Posuk Lamed Gimel, one will see as follows. It says as follows. V'nosates ha-proiches tachas ha-krosim. You place the proiches in its correct setting. V'eves ha-shomom y'beis la-proiches es ha-roin ha-edus. So what happened first and what happened second? First, they placed the Poroiches where it was supposed to be, and then they brought the Oren in. So the setting of the Poroiches preceded the placement of the Oren. If you have a look in Parshas Pikudei, one will see that's actually detailed twice, once the commandment and once the actual happening in Perek Mem. Let's start with Pasuk Gimel. It says as follows. V'samto shom es haroin ha'edus. V'sakoiso alo oren es ha'poroiches. What happened first? Samto shom es haroin ha'edus. V'sakoiso alo oren es ha'poroiches. And later on in Posuk Kaf Aleph, Pe'etmen Posuk Kaf Aleph, V'yovei es ha'oren el ha'mishkon, V'yosem es poroiches ha'mosov, V'yosem al oren ha'edus. Very, very strange. In Parshas Trum we're told that first the poroiches was placed where it was meant to be, and then the oren was brought in. And in Parshas Pikudei it says, first the oren was brought in, and then the praise was put in place. I'll point out another difference. If one has a look at Parshas Truma, it says as follows. We place the Poreichs in place, bring in the Oren, then Venosato es HaKapoiris, that was the lid of the Oren, Ala Roina Eidus Bekoidish HaKadoshim. So when and where was the Kapoiris placed on the Oren? The Oren went in first, and then they carried in the Kapoiris, and they placed it on the Oren, where? In the Koidish HaKadoshim. Let's have a look in Parashas Pikudei. But it says as follows. Vayikach vayiten sa edus ela oren. Vayiten sa kapoiris ala oren mil malo. Vayoveh sa oren ala mishkon. Says that the kapoiris went on first, and then they carried the oren with the kapoiris into the mishkon. So we have two differences between Parshas Truma and Parshas Pikudei. In Parshas Truma we're told, Poreichas first, Oren second, and then placement of Kapoiris on the Oren. And in Parshas Pikudei we're told, first you place the Kapoiris on the Oren, then you bring in the Oren, and then you place the Poreichas there. What's going on over here? And the Ramban, Alatein, Parshas Truma, already highlights these differences. I found the following in a Malbim. The Malbim says as follows. There's actually various proofs one can bring to the Malbim, but our time is limited. It says in Parshas Pikudei, it says the Malbim in Parshas Pikudei as follows: Shehaseda sheba Parshas Truma nor b'shivasi me'amulim. The order of events that you find in Parshas Truma was the order of events that took place in the Shivas Yemei Hamiluim. Vaseda shebekan in Parshas Pikudei noag bishmi. So the setting up in the Shivas Yemei Hamiluim was first Poreichas, then Oren, and then Kapoiris. In Parshas Pikudei, Kapoiris was placed immediately on the Oren, then the Oren was taken in, and then they placed the Poreichas. This is what the Malbim tells us, but it doesn't explain why. Why was there a difference between Shivas Yemei Hamiluim and Yom HaShemini? So I had to look at the Pesukim to see whether I could find any other clues. And there's another difference between Parshas Truma and Parshas Pikudei, which I think could be very helpful over here. In Parshas Pikudei, we're told something that we're not told in Parshas Truma. When they set up the Mishkan, it says, Vayikach, in Perik Mem, Posuk Kaf, it says as follows, Vayikach vayitein es ha'edus el ha'oran. The first thing that they did was they put the luchas in the oran. In Parshas Truma, there's no mention of placement of luchas in the oran. If the Malbim is correct, I'd like to venture to suggest that the luchas were only placed into the oran on Yom HaShmini. During the Shivas Yemei Hamiluim, the luchas were not placed in the oran. And I found, as Azoi Shteit in Cheskuni, and I'll read you out the Loshon HaCheskuni. Bekafei bekislev, hasomuch la'achrov, kshenigma ha'mishkom v'chol p'kelov, Kislev, all the Kalim were completed. Says the Cheskuni, Adain hoya luchas ba'oran shasa Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu made a special receptacle for the luchas, and even though the oran was already created, the luchas stayed in the receptacle that Moshe Rabbeinu created, they weren't put into the oran. Ad echod benissen, only on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which was Yom HaShmini, after Shivas Yemei Hamiluim, kshenim shacha mishkon ves kelov, when the oran and the Mishkan had its final anointing, only them were the luchas transferred from the box of Moshe into the Oren. So the luchas only went into the Oren on day number 8, not during the Shivas Yemei Hamiluim. Which means in Parshas Truma, the luchas weren't yet in the Oren. They were only placed in the Oren on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Parshas Pikudei. I'd like to venture to suggest that when we say the Oren needs a shield, needs a cover, an extra cover called Poreichas, it's not that the Oren as an individual item needed that cover, it was the Oren as the receptacle of the Luchas, it was the Luchas that brought about the requirement of the Poreichas as a shield. Once the Oren contained the Luchas, right, okay, then it needs Lichvoit HaLuchas, something very, very extra. And I'd like to bring two proofs to this. Number one, in Parashat Tzava, the beginning of Parashat Tzava, it says as follows. Bo'oil moyet, michutz la'poroiches, asher al ha'edus. Poroiches, asher al ha'edus. Edus is the luchas. The poroiches was on the luchas. What does it mean the breaks on the luchas? It was there as a shield and a protection from the luchas. That highlights to us that the function of the breakers was in order to protect the luchas. I'd like to also stell zu a trace of Simbo Basra. Daf Gimel Omer Dalef, in the Beis HaMikdash Orishan, there wasn't a parochus as it was in the Mishkan, there was a wall that was called Amor Traxin. And that wall performed the function that a parochus functioned in the Mishkan. Says Tosfos, what's the meaning of the word Traxin? He says, Trak, have a k'moy truki gali, v'sin, have a Sinai, k'loima, shoya mafsik, v'soiga es halucha shenosnu b'sinai. The function of the wall was to act as a division and to close off the luchas that were given on Sinai Shoyim Menachos Ba'oron. Before Shin Tois was that the purpose of this screen was to protect not the Oron per se, was to protect the luchas that were contained in the Oron. If we're correct, we can now go back to the questions that we asked. We asked why in Parshas Truma is the Poroiches highlighted as a mechitza and in Parshas Pekude the Poroiches is highlighted as a cover. The answer is very, very simple. In Parshas Truma, we're dealing with the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. In the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the Luchas weren't yet in the Oren. If the Luchas weren't yet in the Oren, the Poroiches was only performing the mechitza function. It wasn't yet performing the shield function because the Oren required a shield because of the luchas and they weren't yet there. So therefore it says, v'vdila ha-poroiches b'in ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim, we only detail the mechitza function. In Parshas Pekudei, the luchas were already in the Oren. So at that point in time, the poroiches wasn't just a mechitza, the poroiches was also a protector for the Oren because the luchas were there already. That's why it says by Yosef Oren.
So what's the protection? What it was hanging?
Yes.
It wasn't a cover.
It was a screen. Yes, that's a screen. It wasn't a cover. That's right. That's correct. And dare I say that was the fact, and we'll come to this a little bit, well, we'll see how it goes, but we'll come later. That was the primary function. As a chelik of the Oren, that was the primary function, and that is why in Parshas Pekudei we highlight just that function. We asked, then Parshas Truma, the sequence of events was, first we brought in the Oren, first we put the Poroiches there, and then we brought in the Oren. In Parshas Pekudei, we first brought in the Oren, and then we put the Poroiches there. Why the difference? I think Pshat is as follows. In Parshas Truma, the Oren didn't yet need a screen, a protector, because there were no Luchas there. So fine, so you put up the Poroiches first, finish the structure, and then you bring in the Oren. In Parshas Pekudei, the Oren was being, the Poroiches was being placed there, not just as an Avdolah, as a screen. So first you place the Oren in, and then you place the Poroiches as a screen for the Oren. That's why things are reversed.
Maybe they brought the Oren in with the Poroiches around it.
Well, that doesn't actually say that, but that could be the Chilek. Now let's go back to the other Chilek, the Chilek with the Kapoiris. In Parshas Truma, the Kapoiris was only put in later. The Oren went in there, and then you place the Kapoiris on the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in Parshas Pekudei, the Kapoiris was placed on the Oren before the Oren was taken in. I think Pshat could be as follows. It's also a discussion that we can be marich about. The Kapoiris, I think, also had a dual function. The Kapoiris was part of the Klei HaMishkon, one of the Klei HaMishkon. Its placement was where? On the Oren. But the Kapoiris was also a necessity as a lid to protect the Luchas. To protect the Luchas. So it's one of the Klei Mishkan, and it also was a protector for the Luchas. If one has a look in Parshas Achreimus, in Tes Zayin Posuk Beis, we speak about the Kapoiris, says, Al Pnei HaKapoiris Asher Al HaOren. And if you have a look over there in Pesach Zayin Posuk Yud Gimel, it says Esak Poires Asher Al Ha Eidus. Now, the Kapoiris had a dual function. It was Al Oren and it was Al Eidus. It was part of the Klei HaMishkan and its placement was on the Oren, but it was also there to act as a lid, as a protector for the Luchas Asher Al Eidus. Very, very poshut. In Parshas Truma, we're speaking about Shivas Mi'amelui. At that point in time, the Luchas weren't in the Oren. So Proches were being placed as part and parcel of the Mishkan structure. Proches, Oren, Kaporis on the Oren. But in Parshas Pikudei, the Luchos were placed in the Oren. As soon as the Luchos were placed in the Oren, we had to put the Kaporis on top. Because it was there to protect the Luchos. Therefore the Kaporis, the place of the Kaporis, preceded the Oren being brought into the Mishkan. I think now we can understand why in Parshas Vayakhel the Paroiches is mentioned together with the Oren, and Parshas Pikudei the Paroiches is mentioned together with the structure. Perhaps we can explain it. Parshas Vayakhel, we're outlining, detailing what needs to be created that was part of the Tzivui. And of course, the ultimate purpose of the Paroiches was to act as a cover for the Oren, and therefore it's mentioned together with the Oren. In Parshas Pikudei, the listing that we find listed over there is detailing the components of the Mishkan that were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Lamed Tes as a forerunner to the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. We're not yet up to Yom HaShmini there. A forerunner to Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, there was no Luchos in the Oren yet. So then the Paroiches was purely a Mechitza. It's mentioned with the components of the Mishkan. I'd like to add two more points in relevance to this. If we're correct, Paroiches and Kaporis have a shared function. They're both there to protect the Luchos. In Yom Kippur, there's one of the piyutim there that we say in Musaf, or some people say in Musaf, that Toba v'inesenu, ein lonu loy oshom, v'loy ishim, loy badim, v'loy blulas, and so it carries on, two alephs, two bases, two gimels, two dalets. When it gets to Vov, it says, loy vidui v'loy parachatos. Not two Vovs, loy vidui v'loy parachatos. I think the idea is, because vidui and parachatos go to together, they're indivisible, they go together. Therefore, even though they're not two Vovs, once we mention Vidui, we mention Parachatos. Then there's two Zayas, two Cheses, two Tes. There's one other letter where the second part of the pair is not the same letter. Loi Poroiches, Loi Kaporis. It troubled me. We should have two Pays. Have two Pays. Unless you say it's the second Pay. Loi Poroiches, Loi Kaporis. But the way we're learning, just like but Vidui and Parachatos go together, Poroiches and Kaporis go together, they belong together. So even though Kaporis doesn't have a pay, they belong together because those are the two protectors of the Luchos. And let me add one more point. There's a Gaon that you might know. The Gaon says as follows. The Mishnah says in Kalim that Amos HaKalim were Amos which were 5 Tefachim long, and Amos HaBinyan were Amos which were 6 Tefachim long. Two ways of creating the Amos. And it says in the Mishnah in Shkolim that the Paroiches in the Beis HaMikdosh was 40 amas long and 20 amas wide. So it means altogether, if you have the circumference of 20, 40, 20, 40, which altogether is 120 amas going round the Paroiches. Says the Gaon as follows. Says the Gaon that the Mishnah tells us in Shkolim that 300 koyanim held the Paroiches in order to put it into the mikveh. Says the Gaon, what's the cheshbon? The Gaon says, very, very simple. We know that Amos HaKelim is what? Is 5 tefachim. So if you've got a circumference of 120 Amos, how many tefachim have you got? 120 times 5, a bit early for mathematics, 120 times 5 is 600. You've got 600 tefachim all the way around. How many tefachim has each individual got? Two. So 300 koinim is 600 tefachim. The Farshim ask Kapella on the Gaon. Amos HaKelim might be 5 tefachim, but Amos HaBinyan is 6 tefachim. And Paroiches was part of the Binyan. So it doesn't work. But the way that we've explained Paroiches, the main function of Paroiches wasn't Binyan. The main function of Paroiches was part and parcel of the Oren. It was there in order to protect the Oren, which was the receptacle for the Luchos. And therefore the Paroiches was measured in Amos HaKelim and not in Amos HaBinyan. Shabbos. If you have a look at the posuk, it's evident. Yeah. It's evident, yeah. Have a look at it, man. Yeah. Of course, yeah. Two involved.
Since Achush of a Redner spoke on the Parsha, so maybe it would be an idea to speak about Parsha's Puru Habu Alayni L'Toivu, which is the Haftorah for this week's Seder. And I'm repeating, I think I've said this word before, but I love it. And so I'm going to say it again. If you've heard it before, forgive me, but it's to explain the opening of the Haftorah, Zoyschikas Haftorah, which everybody asks, why doesn't it say Zoyschikas Hapuro? After all, the essence of the subject is the Puratima, and why is it Zoyschikas Haftorah? The push to Teretz is that the same way that Pura is, after all, the quintessential choik, and you do it without understanding it at all. So therefore, every mitzvah of the Torah is similar in its idea, that even if you mekayem lo signo, if it's not because ethically you are governed by the fact that you think it's not right to steal, but you're not stealing because the Rebbe Shlomo Tazoy geheißen. And that missing of being mekayem a mitzvah, weil der Eibishter Tazoy geheißen, and that's the instruction from above, is the ultimate, which is Zoyschikas Haftorah. It applies to every 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, that this is the best, finest, ultimate way of being mekayem a mitzvah. But Shlomo HaMelech said, nonetheless, on this mitzvah of Puradimu Umantia Hakaimu Vehi Rechoiku Mimeni, he understood so much. He was a man of such huge, vast depth and understanding, perception of the Torah, yet this din, halucha of Puradimme, eluded him, and he could not grasp it. Because it is essentially full of paradoxes. Everything all about it is just opposite one would have thought. The one who sprinkles was previously tour, one, and now he becomes tumor as a result of doing so. The one who's on the receiving end was previously tumor, and he becomes tour. It doesn't have any rhyme logical reason to it, and that is why it is a choik. So, what we're trying to establish here is maybe we can find some rhyme or reason. Because the Torah says, you know, hafochpa, hafochpa, the killerbo. And consequently, we have to go back to understand what's the purpose of Puradim altogether? To remove tumor. What is the tumor that it removes? Tumas mace. That is the pinnacle of tumor, the avi, avos, hatumor, outside of the sword, which we learn out of the dagger, b'chalal cheref. This is the avi, avos, hatumor, chieftain of all tumors. You sprinkle the mei chatos, mix it together with ezoiv and with other ingredients, which is the cedarwood and etc., and you make this mixture with maim chaim, and boom, just like that, it disappears. Why? Let's go back to source. Briasu olam. The Bein Shalom created the world, put Udom and Chavu into this world, and said to them, here you are. All the trees are there for your benefit, all there for your pleasure. Enjoy the mangoes, the pineapples, the apples, the pears, and everything that's there. Delicious, sumptuous, luscious fruits for your benefit to enjoy them. One tree, and we're not going down the Humon path, one tree which you are forbidden to eat, and that was the Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas essentially means that you will know Toiv Vora, and the Rebbein Shalom said, yes, but that's the one I ask of you, do not eat from it. Comes our old friend Snakey, and he comes to Chava and he says to her, yeah, sure, he doesn't want you to be like him because you'll be like God too, and you'll become intelligent, heightened intellect, you'll be brilliant, you'll know it all. And therefore he's fearful of competition. On the back of that, he says to her, go on, eat it. She looks at it and it's delicious and it's succulent, inviting. And he says to her, you'll be clever, you'll be wise, you'll know it all. And she ate. And at that point, when she ate from the Eitz Hadas, she brought something terrible to the world. mortality, death. Because up until then, man was destined to live forever. But when she ate from that fruit, she suddenly brought death to the world. What was the cause of death? The desire to know, the desire to understand, the desire to perceive and to know more. Because the Rebbein Shalom said, I gave you a rabbinate to receive me, roim is soifo elam bat soifo, not good enough for you. No, you have to know it more. So now man is mortal. Mortality with death brought in its wake tumor. And that's the consequence of death, the void. And now, if we look at this, we can understand the tikkun, which is there from the pura demo. What is the only thing that can remove that koyach hatimah that comes from mortality and death is the pura demo. What's the essence of pura demo? You don't know. You don't understand. You're performing it because the Rebbein Shalom said so. It's the quintessential choyk, completely oblivious to anything that has, it defies logic. Memaila, we understand. Zois Rika Satora, that the Rebbein Shalom is saying to you, yes, by doing something that is full of paradoxes, doesn't make sense, this is the tikkun to overcome the chet and the void created by the tumor, which was created by death, which was created by Chavo and by Udom, by having eaten the Eitz Hadas in the pursuit of the ultimate knowledge. Now, we understand a little insight into the concept of Pura Dil. Chaps.
Wanting to know the answer.
It was hanging.